All right, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, by way of introduction. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 through 21. 2 Peter 1, notice verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Notice verse 19. I want to emphasize this statement. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Again, I want to emphasize that statement. We have a more sure word of prophecy. All right, so let me ask you this question. The question I emphasized last week is, are we truly King James only? And again, this, I've been doing some reading on the King James Bible. I do this from time to time on purpose because I want to know what's going on in relation to the Independent Baptist movement in this issue and things. But I want you to think about this statement. We have a more sure word of prophecy. So let me ask you, if we have a more sure word of prophecy in the Word of God, do we need to change it or alter it in any way? Obviously not. So let me ask you then, why do we have so many King James only preachers today who are altering what the Bible says? I'm going to give you some examples in these, it's probably just a short series, but I want you to think about this in relation to Revelation 22 verses 18 and 19. I have heard many King James only preachers emphasize this passage, and I believe rightly so. And yet what happens in many cases, as I'm doing more reading on this, in many cases, King James only preachers that emphasize verses 18 and 19 of chapter 22 also alter the King James Bible as to what it actually says. So with that said, notice verses 18 and 19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things. And what I said last week, by way of example, all you have to do is add one word and you totally change what the Bible says. Think about that. All right, so adding one word, is that serious? Obviously, because you're changing what the Bible actually says. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Now, I'm not saying that every King James only preacher who alters things as far as the King James Bible is unsaved. But they're listening to those who were unsaved. I'm convinced of that. Because you notice here what God says. Adding unto him the plagues that are written in this book. The plagues that were coming upon people in this book are placed upon unbelievers. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. That's a serious, serious warning. I want you to notice also Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is something that God emphasizes throughout the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Deuteronomy 4, verse 1. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Notice verse 2, ye shall not add unto the word which I command you. All right, so again, I'm asking the question. Adding one word to totally change the statement in Scripture, is that adding to God's word? All right, so we're totally altering it just by adding one word. Then we are violating what God says here. Neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Then notice also Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Again, for us to say that we are King James only and then we alter what the King James Bible actually says, that are we truly King James only? That is a subtle deception, and I want to emphasize that here. as we look at some several scriptures. Notice verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. Does that mean every word of God is pure? You don't have to read it any other way, right? Okay, so if that's the case, then, for example, we'll look at this statement, the day of Christ. So does the day of Christ mean the day of the Lord? If every word of God is pure, then why do we need to change it as King James Bible preachers? He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words. One word is an addition. I'm emphasizing this on purpose. One word is an addition to what God said in his words, right? Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now, I want you to notice here Genesis chapter 3. I feel very strongly about this. I've not always been King James only. I've told you that before. I used to think, well, you know, King James, New King James, you know, New King James is kind of a difference between the NIV and you know, a balance perspective between the King James and the NIV. Everyone's using these two extremes, so I'm going to use the New King James. Well, the problem is, I had used the King James for enough years of my life that I'm reading the marginal statements. You know, this is not in such and such text and all those kinds of things. It got to the point where I'm thinking, I could not give my New King James to a new Christian because they might start reading those same marginal notes and have questions about whether or not God's word is true. So I finally gave that up, realizing it was error, and then I started studying out the issue, and then I found out why I had to give up the New King James. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle. Notice, he's crafty. He's crafty. Satan, the serpent, is subtle. And he uses King James-only preachers to subtly send another message in many Baptist churches today. Again, I'm going to give you some examples. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, which is an addition, lest ye die. Anytime you start listening to the subtlety of the serpent, guess what? You're going to start adding to what the Bible says. Well, then notice this outright denial then in verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. That's not what God said. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, as far as this corrupting or perverting of the words of God, notice with me Jeremiah 23. This is a powerful, powerful passage in relation to prophets. And I'm going to emphasize this in relation to prophecies today. But I want you to think about something here as far as Satan's all-out attack upon the scripture of truth ever since Genesis chapter 3. There has been an all-out attack. And again, if he can't present the modern perversions to somebody, he's going to suddenly try to bring in perversions of the Word of God through teachers and so on. Again, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about here. Jeremiah 23, notice verses 25 and following. I have heard, this is God speaking here, I have heard that what the prophets said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. Again, I want you to pay attention to these statements that are made here. Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word. What's the next word? Faithfully. Notice as a King James only preacher, I must speak God's word faithfully. That's why I say, and that's why I emphasize, pay attention to the words that are on the page. Don't use the outlines and so on. Pay attention to what God said himself. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire? Right, so fire obviously purifies and consumes, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You think about the word of God is able to break a hardened heart through brokenness. Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord. Notice that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. So we notice here in verse 30, we have Revelation 22 and Deuteronomy 4:2, taking from God's words. Notice verse 31. Behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, he saith. So notice here, then we also have adding to God's words what he actually says. Notice they claim to speak for God when giving their own message as a prophet. Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Notice that last statement in verse 32. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. When a King James only preacher adds or changes what the King James Bible actually says, guess what? They're stealing from the profitableness of Scripture. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, on purpose, I'm laying a foundation here of several scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So we see here that false prophets will not profit the people. It says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses... let's look at the context, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and notice, is what? It is profit. All right, Jeremiah 23. The false prophets are not profiting the people at all. Notice, the scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. So how is Satan doing this? First of all, he offers them a defective sword. Modern perversions, in fact, 2 Corinthians 2:17 says, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. It's all about money. You know, that's why there's another major, you know, modern perversion that comes out every 6 months because, you know, well, that perversion didn't, you know, we've sold that. So now we've got sold that one out. So now we've got to alter things just enough so that we can sell another one. You know, this is more reliable than the one that we just gave, the one we just sold you. So get out your $40. And if you want leather, you know, we'll give you it to each for $70 because we have the updated Greek translation of the English, you know, anyway. Modern perversions, they remove words, remove verses, and entire sections of the Bible. You don't doubt that? Mark 16, I think it's from verse 9 through 16, is either put into question or removed from the modern Bibles. You read what's in Mark 16, the ascension and everything is there. All right, so removing whole sections of the Bible even. They replace words, so they'll take one word out that's actually a right translation of the Greek words, and they will put their words in it. And they call that dynamic equivalence. Again, that's a term related to that. But then there's thousands of changes. In fact, there's thousands of differences even between the Greek manuscripts that all the modern Bibles are based upon. So Satan will offer them a defective sword to steal the words of God from them. Second way he does this all-out attack on the inspired, preserved words of God, Satan offers them deceptive scholars. This whole outline is not going to be alliterated, but, you know, defective swords, deceptive scholars. Bible college professors, textual critics, and again, as I'm emphasizing in these few lessons, King James-only preachers who edit the King James Bible. I came across a book about the Bible. It's entitled Editing the Bible, or Editing God, I think is what it's called. That title grabbed my attention, and actually it was written by a guy who is not King James only, decided to study out the issue, and he realized that there is an issue with that. I don't know that he's still as King James only, you know, if he's King James only or not, but the reality is he realized there was an issue. Notice me 2 Peter chapter 3. So maybe he's a step closer to becoming King James only and using the inspired, preserved words of God. 2 Peter chapter 3. I want you to notice what Peter says here. Verse 15 through 17. Actually, we'll read verse 18 too, because it's a good climax to what we're looking at here. It says here, verse 15, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood." As I pointed out in the introduction of Hebrews probably a year ago, this possibly is referring to some statements made in Hebrews that Peter was trying to understand, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. High school wrestling. All right, so that's what we're related to here with this word. They're wrestling with the words of God. Notice how God describes them. They are unlearned and unstable as they wrest the scriptures, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. They are destroying themselves. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. All right, so deceptive scholars. Third, another way Satan does this is he offers study tools based on corruption of Scripture. I have been trying very, very hard to wean myself totally off of Strong's Concordance, all references to it. And the reason for that is because James Strong, the editor of the Strong's Concordance, actually was a part of the Westcott and Hort team. I don't know if he was, Westcott and Hort are the ones that controlled it all, so I don't know if he was a consultant or what, but he actually used some of that, some of the stuff, the corrupting of the Bible in Westcott and Hort, he actually used that as a part of his dictionary in relation to the Strong's Concordance. Also related to this, study tools, is commentaries based on perversions of Scripture. Years ago, I had the opportunity. I was excited about getting this because going to a not King James only Baptist college, this was a commentary that was highly recommended, you know, because of one of the dispensational teachers related to it and so on, but the Bible Knowledge Commentary based on the NIV. Well, I tried using that as a young pastor, and it was totally different than my King James Bible. And so I finally got rid of it. It's like, you know what, he doesn't even deal with the passages that I want to deal with in the King James Bible and all that. So, but more recently, as I've been trying to use older books, older commentaries and everything, B.H. Carroll is a very respected Baptist scholar, theologian, whatever you want to call him. Well, I've tried using his commentaries. I think there's 17 volumes. I've tried using his commentaries. I love his commentaries for the historical background that he brings into the study of Scripture. But subtly, I believe subtly, Satan used men like B.H. Carroll to introduce into the Southern Baptist Convention the modern Bibles. His commentaries were not based on the King James. They were written in particular in the early 1900s. They're based on the Revised Standard Version. I have tried using them. It's all PDF files. I finally deleted all of his stuff. I cannot mentally wrap my mind around using something that's not based on the inspired, preserved words of God. In fact, what I think is interesting is B.H. Carroll from time to time would say, well, that's not an accurate translation in RSV. So then why are you using the RSV? That's what I kept thinking. I do not want to use a study tool that's going to undermine my understanding of the inspired, preserved words of God. Also, what you think about this, and this is what I'm emphasizing in these studies, Satan uses King James preachers who add words or twist meanings of words. This is an unfortunate translation. This word is better translated as, If you ever hear me say that, ask for my resignation or confront me, whatever. Tell me, wait a minute, you slipped up, preacher. I know you don't believe that. Notice me, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. What is that? That is a subtle deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Not only that, my wife will. Hey, you know what you said today? And I thank God for that because sometimes I have misspeaks. I don't believe that. Therefore, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Just last night I was listening to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and my life verse is verse 12. But it's very interesting how many times he emphasizes Paul obtained mercy. He obtained mercy. He obtained mercy and grace. Notice, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have a ministry for the Lord just by his mercy and his grace. We don't deserve those things. Verse 2, but notice, we have renounced. The word renounced means to deny or reject something. We have denied, we have rejected, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So again, I say this, I mentioned this a short while ago. I say this again. If I ever say, well, I know this is what the King James Bible says, but here's what I believe. That's exactly what King James only preachers are doing today, and we continue listening to them and we read their books. Not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth. Here's what the Bible says. Notice, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. All right, so the argument is made, when C.I. Schofield was still alive, the Schofield Reference Bible was only available in the King James. He was loyal to the King James version of the Bible. Okay, that's the argument that is used in relation to C.I. Schofield. It's very interesting. 1917, the Schofield Reference Bible, introduction. This is point 11, Roman numeral 11. Listen to this statement. After mature reflection, it was determined to use the authorized version. None of the many revisions have commended themselves to the people at large. What's he saying? We're going to use the authorized King James version because none of the other revisions of the Bible have been accepted widely by all the people. I won't be able to sell as many Bibles. Oh, no, that's my addition there. They have not commended themselves to the people at large. Again, this is his admission in the 1917 edition. The revised version, which has now been before the public for 27 years, gives no indication of becoming, in any general sense, the people's Bible of the English-speaking world. The discovery of the Sinaitic manuscripts and the labors in the field of textual criticism of such scholars as Griesbach, Lachman, Tischendorf, Tregelles, Weiner, Alford, and Westcott and Hort have cleared the Greek Textus Receptus of minor inaccuracies. He was not King James only. If he could have used something other than the King James Bible, he would have used something other than the King James Bible. He goes on to say that he placed in the margins, I mentioned this last week, he placed in the margins of this edition, which therefore combines the dignity, the changes, I should say, were placed in the margins of this edition, which therefore combines the dignity, the high religious value, the tender associations of the past, the literary beauty, and remarkable general accuracy of the authorized version. There are mistakes in there, by the way, with the results of the best textual scholarship, end quote. That statement that I made was an addition, was my editing. That statement right there and others is why I have heard Sunday school teachers and pastors of Baptist churches make statements like this. The King James Bible is the best English Bible available, but it is not perfect. I had a man stand right here in the middle of this aisle right here, tell me that statement. This is the best that we have, but it's not perfect. So let me ask you, are we King James only? Or are we just waiting for something to come along that we consider better? Now, last week I emphasized this statement. Scripture is negotiable. Study notes in these study Bibles remain constant. That's why when study Bibles come out, MacArthur study Bible, Jeremiah study Bible, David Jeremiah's and all that, all of these. All right, so you have the study notes, but they're constantly changing which Bible. So the study notes are non-negotiable, but the Bible is negotiable. We are not King James only when we have that kind of attitude. Most modern Christians have traded the inspired, preserved words of God for a defective sword. Others exalt study notes to be equal to Scripture. You don't believe me? I have seen study Bibles where the text of Scripture is underlined and noted as much, or I'm sorry, back up, that the study notes are noted and underlined and everything as much as the text of Scripture. Let me ask you, subtly, what is happening in the mindset of most of many people who use a study Bible? The study notes are equal to or greater value than Scripture itself. Satan is subtle. We need to wake up to this. What's very interesting is dispensationalist David Cloud made Schofieldism, that's what I call it, he narrows it down to the pre-trib rapture, as a test of fellowship. Listen to this statement. David Cloud says, "I can't speak for others, but I have never had a ministry relationship with a preacher who denies the pre-tribulation rapture, and I have no intention of having such a relationship today. I don't consider such preachers unsaved just because of their views on prophecy, but I consider this a very important doctrine, and if a man does not hold to it, I will not preach at his church. I will not preach together with him in a conference. I will not participate in the ordination of such a man. I will not allow such a man to preach in our church, and I will not recommend that anyone join his church." Over the pre-trib rapture. By the way, you go back to old doctrinal confessions of faith, you try to find the pre-trib rapture in any of those things before the 1800s. It will not be found. And now we have now made the pre-trib rapture a test of fellowship. Very interesting, Pastor Tommy McMurtry, I just came across this last night, Liberty Baptist Church, Rock Falls, in Illinois. I've met either Tommy or his father, Tom McMurtry, a pastor in Illinois. But he made this statement in some kind of TWIP message or something, I don't know, Twitter. "I really hope that the IFB will one day get to the place where they treat pervert pastors and pastors who cover for perverts the same way they treat pastors who are different on eschatology," end quote. Do you realize how where we are today in the independent Baptist movement? It is easier for someone who ends up in prison for wickedness to retain fellowship with the independent Baptist movement than it is for somebody who does not hold to the pre-trib rapture anymore. By the way, this church is not on David Cloud's list, church list, because I am no longer pre-trib. Touché. This kind of stuff was never a test of fellowship 150 years ago. Never. But now we have made something that is twisting a script. Anyway, Pastor Matt First wrote the book, Who is Israel? This is fuel for this fire. Some things I've been working on, and then Brother Wilford recommended another book by Matt First, and so I noticed he had two of them. It's like, oh, I need both of them. So I've been reading some of these, and but he makes this statement. Grab my attention. Most people don't really want the truth. They just want constant reassurance that what they believe is the truth. Then he said this. God's people are likened to sheep, and sheep tend to follow other sheep instead of their shepherd. Without realizing it, we've trusted the theology of other sheep rather than the simple, straightforward teaching found in the book of the shepherd himself. I've mentioned this before, but years ago I was reading, I think this was in God's World News or something, and it told about a shepherd village, and I think it was in Turkey. Remember, you might remember me telling the story before. But all of a sudden, you know, the shepherds are gathering around on this top of this cliff, and all of a sudden this one sheep says, you know, I'm kind of bored around here, so I'm going to have some excitement. So it goes to the edge of the cliff and just jumps off. So this sheep falls to its death. Well, all these sheep around there, another sheep sees this, wow, that looks like fun. Ah! Went to his death at the bottom of the cliff. Sheep on the top of this cliff are no longer following their shepherds. Wow, that looks like fun. Woo! Sheep after sheep after sheep were jumping off this cliff. That's a true story. The only sheep that survived was because they were padded at the bottom because of all the other sheep that had dropped to their death. Sheep tend to follow sheep rather than their shepherd. Notice John chapter 10. That is a powerful statement. Sheep tend to follow sheep instead of their shepherd. Verse 1, let's just look at the entire context as we close. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and notice the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They're listening to the shepherd. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Drop down to verse 19 says there is a division again among the Jews for these sayings. Jesus caused a lot of division. Well, you can't be a Lord because you're causing division. Well, not necessarily. Jesus divided quite a bit also. It says here, verse 26, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Of course, then the Jews want to stone him because of blasphemy. But notice again, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Let me just say it this way. If we ever hear even a King James-only preacher say something other than what the King James Bible actually says, we need to stop listening to them. Here's my point with this. If they're going to do this, adding one word here, changing what this phrase means or whatever, in certain places, what are they doing elsewhere in the Bible? It gets to the point where you cannot trust them. Truth. Are we truly King James only when we exalt men who are not King James only in their practice? Baptist pastor and historian James Beller said that the honest truth is that we can never know the whole truth about Mr. Scofield. That there are gaps in Scofield's life, there can be no doubt, according to the book of Soul of St. Louis. James Beller also says this, America in Crimson Red, in reaction to the modernism of the colleges and seminaries, Baptists began to attach themselves to a burgeoning movement, fundamentalism. Though the fundamentalist movement would peak in the 20th century, its roots began in reaction to modernism, liberalism, and unbelief in the Gilded Age. What I want you to consider is this: the fact that because of liberalism coming into so many churches, I believe what Satan did was he subtly slipped some things in. Oh, this is based on the King James, but it's not King James only. It calls into question things in the Bible. He subtly is slipping these things in. Again, we have the inspired, preserved words of God. If a preacher calls that into question, then we need to call him into question. Lord, I pray that you'd help us be discerning these last days. Satan, we understand in Scripture, is so subtle. Lord, there's so many things he's subtly trying to bring in, even into King James-only churches. Lord, help us to be discerning. In Jesus' name, amen.